up these days. You gotta run through. You gotta fast forward straight up. What?
The whole world's out of order. The simplest things in life we can't afford. I'm tired of the ride, living out this mess. People still struggling to make the best. But ideas are simple, yes they are. It's dangerous to be who you are these days. Signs and posters to report suspicion. While we ride to work on the subway.
Con Ed Keystone checking out your res. All gone forgot about the illegit prez. I'm not a patriot, I'm a straight up citizen. Acting like one in the seat of lost denizens. The right to dissent, freedom of movement. Freedom of choice, room for improvement. Practice like this, but I swear these days all I wanna do is pack a cot sank. Oh my God, words can end you up in the clank.
And that's Paradigm and Dutch Boy on a track called Fast Forward. The group is called BQE, and I am in their presence right now. Dutch Boy is, among other things, responsible for the Fat Family record label and website, and you're also a hip-hop artist. You were honored by Out Music this year.
That's correct.
Special Recognition Award, front page at Gay City News.
Right.
Wow.
Very exciting.
Paradigm was interviewed on for a VH1 thing recently,
yeah.
So that's where...
Totally gay.
Totally gay. We'll talk about that later, but we're going to... Mostly we're talking about bisexual, gay, lesbian, transgendered folks in hip-hop. And a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed Juba about the Peace Out Hip-Hop Festival, and you were there.
Yes, I was.
And you were there just to watch or just to perform or to do a little both?
Well, something sort of in between. This is the third annual festival. The first event I was scheduled to perform as part of Rainbow Flava but was not able to attend at the last minute. Basically, I had a sort of an issue with my job, and I had just gotten the job, so like I couldn't come out there. So the second year, I went out there and performed as part of Rainbow Flava and also led a sort of workshop on independent music promotion for LGBT artists. This current year, Rainbow Flava is basically scattered across three different cities, and the Fat Family compilations were kind of the bulk of my creative and organizing efforts these days. So I basically went out there to represent the label and to kind of network with other artists. I hosted the first of three performances on Friday, September 12th. And I also was a guest performer with two different artists, Johnny Dangerous and Deadly, who also performed at the event. So I was kind of the man about town, sort of, you know, hawking the compilations and watching all of the performances and approaching people about collaborating in the future and just kind of getting the word out there about what we're doing in terms of supporting and promoting independent LGBT hip-hop throughout the U.S. and Europe.
Yeah, it's a fascinating – I didn't go this year, but I was there last year performing. It's
right.
A fascinating – amazing, empowering, all those words, adventure, just to see, you know, kids out there doing, we're all, you know, coming from all over the country and the world,
right,
to do hip-hop and meet one another, because a lot of us, maybe we've done songs together.
We organize,
but we don't know each other, and we got to meet, you know. So
we organize primarily over the internet, of course, right, because it's so much more cost-effective, and there are artists in the UK that I've, like, you know, collaborated with that I've yet to meet. There's an artist that I had done three songs with together that I only met like 2 weeks ago, who's based in Houston, Texas, by the name of Miss Money. And regional conferences like this, I think, give us an opportunity to actually meet. And I think it also gives, like, people who might be interested in this as fans a sense of, like, the range and volume of art that's out there, which you just can't get from doing a web search or from reading an article. And I think it encourages people to take this more seriously as, like, a movement as opposed to, like, a group of – not even a group, but just, like, a series of individuals that you might hear about from, like, one corner of the country or the other. And I feel that it was interesting to me to hear and see people actually, like, treating it more and more like a conference, like a, like, professional gathering of, like, artists with, like, common goals and things, yeah, like that. People passing around business cards and promo copies and saying, you know, I work at this radio station at, you know, the University of Pittsburgh or something like that, and people actually passing information around and networking in a way that, mm-hmm. like, just wasn't possible 2 years ago.
You got the Fat Family website started up when?
In 1998.
And
it originally was just kind of a website for links and information related to the Fat Family mailing list, which was an internet mailing list centered around issues related to hip-hop and homosexuality, which, you know, I think at that time had maybe like a dozen members and now has like 300 members worldwide, yeah. I think. And it kind of grew from there. Like we ended up building the Diss List, which was like a searchable database of hip-hop lyrics pertaining to homosexuality, basically in effect a kind of an archive of what some people perceive as anti-gay lyrics, which were contributed by members of the list. It's also been this ever-expanding links page in terms of openly gay artists, openly queer artists throughout the U.S. and mm-hmm. Europe.
PHATFAMILY.org.
Yeah.
Right.
And Paradigm, you've been performing for how long?
I would say as doing hip-hop probably the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. But I've been performing since I was five.
Yeah. that's usually the case. Right.
I'm also, I'm a poet too. So I've done a lot of, under my birth name, a lot of poetry too. Yeah.
Paradigm is your superhero.
Paradigm is my superhero name.
The cape and spandex thing, you're fabulous, by the way.
Thank you.
And the dreads, it's gorgeous.
Thank you. But BQE, we've been together for about not even a year.
Right. Right.
We performed together for the first time last November at Princeton.
Yeah.
So
the issue of like homophobia in hip hop made it to the gay stream press a few years back when Eminem, a white rapper, but there have been like as Dutch Boy said, there's been homophobic statements in hip hop for years and years and years.
Right.
But finally, a white rapper started saying it. Oh, now we have to take notice.
Right. Absolutely.
And you were both part of a panel called the Homosexual Hip Hop Panel. That the Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.
Right.
And that's how you met, wasn't it?
Well, I actually wasn't formally part of the panel. I just kind of jacked it, you know? Like, I was there, and Glad said, well, we didn't contact you because we thought you were based in San Francisco. And I said, well, you know, I can see why you might think that because I moved here fairly recently. But we ended up, mm-hmm. a conversation sort of began at that panel, which...
Yeah, that panel was... I think I actually did a radio show here on Out FM a few years ago about around the same time as that panel. It was interesting because what ended up happening for me was I've met a lot of artists that day. I met Dutch Boy, I met this other woman who's a part of this group called The Anomalies. It's not a queer group, but they're a very talented underground hip hop group.
Star Perkins,
who's a DJ Chocolate Girl Wonder.
Carter Lewis.
But you know what I kind of realized after that panel, and I've been on numerous panels like that, is that we were speaking very different languages in terms of what GLAAD wanted in my estimation, and what I was bringing to the table is that for me this was a conversation about hip hop and how as a woman who grew up listening to hip hop, I used to DJ for a little while. I was a break dancer, B girl. This is music that's part of my heritage, just like jazz, rock and roll, blues. And you know, here there was a group of people who basically didn't want this form of music to exist. So, you know, it was. I realized that we were coming from very different communities.
One thing I noticed was that what the GLAAD spokespeople on TV were talking about, the number of times the word faggot was used on the songs and all this stuff.
Right.
And the people on the panel, who are all people of color,
right.
into hip-hop in one way or another, they talked about Eminem for about 20 minutes and spent about 2 hours talking about the gaystery media and why they don't put like black folks on the cover of the magazines,
right.
The monopolization of the record industry, and about homophobia in the record industry. That's
what
y'all wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
You really didn't want to
talk
about Eminem much at all.
I mean, I think for me, if we were talking about like our favorite artists and what artists we like and what artists we like who say homophobic things and how that's problematic for us as individuals and consumers, like. You know, I've talked about, you know, Outkast and how they're one of my favorites, that my favorite group, and kind of what I went through as a fan of Outkast, and when they would say homophobic things, but they don't anymore. And you know, the fact of the matter is that artists are human beings and they change, you know, but their words are archived, you know. So the Beastie Boys, you know, almost 20 years ago, you know, said faggot and this and that.
The original title, actually, the album License to Ill, the pre-release title was Don't Be a Faggot.
Yeah. And as we know, the Beastie Boys are like Buddhists who are like vegans.
Nowadays, they
apologize for things they said about women in their records.
So, I mean, they're, you know, I think that, you know, we're also, you know, there is the discussion of kind of, you know, racism and classism never comes into play when we're talking about quote-unquote homophobia in hip-hop. Of course, we never talk about homophobia in country music. Of course, we never talk about homophobia in rock and roll. Homophobia in general, in terms of, you've noticed that too. You know, employment and housing, and but I have to say that, you know, Dutch and I talk about this a lot, is that, you know, we're willing to have these conversations. And I don't want to be a person who doesn't have these conversations because I feel like people are stupid.
Right.
I want to be a person who says, well, let's look at it this way.
Let's look at this in the larger context.
Let's look at our country and kind of what we promote as like male, you know, masculinity and femininity. And people are like, oh, it's not just black people who are homophobic or people who do hip hop who are homophobic. But some people are there. That's kind of where they stop.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, and I think some of that too is that there's been a lot of basically well-intentioned and laudable work around, you know, language in the broadcast media, in the print media, and in avoiding words which are perceived as insensitive or insulting. And I think one of the reasons hip-hop is so jarring to gay activists is that, like, they're thinking to themselves, you know, we've just gotten to the point where when they play an Eddie Murphy movie on television, they bleep out the word faggot and they put in the word gay. And now this sets us back 20 years. Listen to this. Faggot, 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 faggot. And I mean, that would alienate me if I'd done all that kind of work and felt like it was just being ignored. And if I was white and the artist doing it was black, you know, I might have this whole internal dialogue like, oh, well, maybe this is just because, like, you know, this doesn't bot these words. You know, maybe they don't bother black people because black people are more homophobic. And if I didn't know any black people, then it wouldn't get beyond that internal dialogue. And I might, like, you know, call a press release and say, well, yeah, here's the problem. The problem is that, you know, the problem is that we need to educate, you know,
the African American community about homophobia and
homosexuality. Right, right, exactly.
This brings up an interesting, what I would call an opportunity. I now realize, by the way, for all you folks listening to Out FM, that this is going to have to be a two-parter. We're definitely going to address something that's taking place right now, and then in another week or two, we're going to broadcast part two of this.
Okay.
But
okay.
DMX has a song, and I was walking down the street in Perth Amboy, New Jersey, Middlesex County, and out of a window, I hear the DMX song, Where's the Hood At? And I knew this had to be on a radio because, I mean, gee, what are the odds that I would be walking by this house while this, quote, homophobic song is playing?
Right.
And what I thought was interesting about the song is that it's not like Eminem, who is portraying a homophobic character. This is DMX saying, this is D to the M to the X, and he's talking about how he feels about homosexuality.
Had a nigga in the cut where the wood at? All the niggas acting up where the wolves at? You better bust that. Man, cats don't know what it's gonna be. F***ing with a nigga like me. D to the M to the X. Last I heard, that niggas was having sex with the same sex. I show no love to homo thugs. Empty out, you throw most. How you gonna explain f***ing a man? Even if we squash the beef, I ain't touching your head. I don't with chumps. For those that been to jail, that's the cat with the Kool-Aid on his lips and pumps. I don't f*** with niggas that think they bras. Only know how to be one way, that's the dog. I know how to get down, know how to bite. Bark very little, but I know how to fight. I know how to chase a cat up in a tree. Man, I gave y'all niggas the business for f***ing with me. Is she crazy?
Where the hood at? Had a nigga in the cut, where the wood at? All the niggas acting up, where the wolves at? You better bust that.
Heard the song.
Oh yeah.
Right, yeah.
And
read the lyrics.
I'm fascinated. I want to know what your opinion or impressions, suggestions about this.
Well, I don't think the fact that he says all these things about gay people to someone like me or Paradigm, that this isn't necessarily newsworthy because it's not the first time that this kind of music has come out. But what I found interesting is that it actually incorporates language which, right. like, gay people have been responsible for
homo thugs
introducing into the public consciousness, and one of them is homo thugs.
He wow! Says,
I show no love for homo thugs.
When did idea, hear that?
Where indeed? I can only
the New York Times.
The New York Times, MTV. There's any number of places where that word.
The Source vibe.
Which, you know, I find problematic in some ways, but like the mere fact that he's even like able to conceive of an actual gay person like presenting a thug persona, I don't necessarily want to say it's progress, but it's certainly an evolution that like he no longer just sees the word faggot as like a certain sort of passive human being. Like he understands that it has something to do explicitly with homosexuality and that he feels sort of forced to clarify this point. It's fascinating to me because that wasn't true in the beginning. I mean, when Rapper's Delight came out, there's this aside about like Superman being a sissy in a suit
wore,
and cape.
Yeah, because he wore spandex. But you know, the thing about DMX is that, I mean, I always go back to like, do I like the artist's music?
Right,
right.
No. I mean, you know, what I listen to for hip hop is if I find someone's voice annoying, I can't listen to it. No matter,
right.
It doesn't matter how good, you know, their delivery it is. It doesn't matter how bumping the beat it is. It doesn't matter how amazing the words are.
Right.
There are, like, I have had many arguments with people about different groups like Del, the Funky Homo Sapien, and Blackalicious because their lyrics are amazing, but I can't stand their voices.
Right.
So it's like, I like the music. I like what they say. So, you know, DMX has never been someone I've been really into. I mean, there's some songs that you hear and you're like, oh my God, this is so good. But, you know, he has another song where he says faggot, then he says the N-word, soft. And this gets played in gay clubs
all
the time. And so is this not a surprise? I'm like, oh, DMX says, you know, how he hates homo thugs?
But
yeah.
He actually comes out and says things like, you know, last I heard y'all was having sex with the same sex. I show no love for homo thugs. That's so much more explicit.
It's so much more articulate, too.
Yeah.
I mean, to talk about same-sex relations, talk about homo thugs.
Well, because you can't debate somebody saying, you know, I bust you, faggot. I don't trust you, faggot.
Right.
You know, how do you debate that? Well, you shouldn't say that about faggots, you know. But but you can debate, you know,
yes.
Oh, he shows no love for homo thugs. Well, why? What does that really mean?
I think what you're saying, I wasn't, you know, consciously aware of what you're saying, but I think you're on target. And I think that's why I see this more as an opportunity. Because what I've been telling people is they should, when they hear that song on the radio, they should call up that station and then say, well, why didn't you play Aaron Carl's Bring It On right afterwards? Right. It would be perfect response.
Yeah. Why don't you play Fast Forward by BQE?
Why don't you play Fast Forward by BQE?
Wait.
What's this? You don't have Fast Forward? You don't have it? What kind of radio station is this? I'm going to turn to WBAI. Click.
I thought this was a hip-hop station.
I thought this was I think like the Aaron Carl song is like the perfect response. And the song that, you know, you have, Fast Forward.
Maybe Bring It On.
It's perfect. And so we can have a discussion
right.
about it.
But, you know, whatever. That gets into the whole who controls the radio, who controls the...
Which we're going to talk about in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And
on
so,
this station.
I mean, I think that... What I find great is not censorship, but actually people dialoguing and taking opportunity to build community, making music that you want to make. I mean, you know, in our music, we talk about faggots and dykes.
Yeah.
From a different perspective, you know, we critique our community,
right.
A certain aspect of our community that leaves a lot of the community out, because that's important too, because that way we can become more articulate community, become, you know, a more powerful community. I think to hide people are homophobic. People hate, you know, bisexuals and trannies and lesbians and gays. For us to hide and say that that's not, you know, real, I think does a disservice.
Right. We're going to be all right. You have one more thing to say?
Well, as we can take on homophobia in the larger context, we can also take on our internalized homophobia.
Absolutely.
And I think that lends some credibility to what we do. I think one thing that is lacking sometimes in mainstream gay activism is a kind of self-awareness, a kind of sense that, like, you know, we have our own issues to deal with. You know, we need greater sensitivity from the straight community on these issues as we take on our own issues, you know, around race, around internalized homophobia, around all of these things. And we're we want to be part of the solution in our own community as much as we want to be part of the solution in the larger society.
We're going to sit here in the studio for 2 weeks and then come back. All right.
That's us. We're
sit
under
quietly
house arrest.
And talking about corporatization of the media, creating community and critiquing our communities in a way that's useful. Again, you're listening to Out FM. Well, I'll be back next week talking to the band I Am Loved. And then once again, we'll be back with Dutch Boy and
Paradigm.
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 Paradigm. See, that's – I got – D-I-M-E. See, I got – that's
I
read
spell it wrong?
No, you spelled it right. I read it wrong. We'll be back after all of this.
Paradigm smacks.